life of God. And we just really just trust that as Tanya comes and shares with us, there's going to be something of an awakening in every one of our hearts and in our minds here today. And then also Wendy is here too. Where's Wendy hidden away? Oh, there's Wendy too. Wendy's come from the storehouse down in PE also to come and minister, to share, and that, so she will share with us a bit later. So it's really been great having you guys with us. But let's stretch our hands towards Tanya, and let's just trust God to work through his power through her. Lord, we just thank you for this gift of Tanya, and Lord, we just thank you as we just trust you to speak through her today, as you have encouraged us through the prophetic, Lord, that you're going to speak to us through the still small voice, and may every one of us leave here being impacted by what you are saying to this church and to us as individuals as we follow you now. So thank you for your blessing now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, Tanya.
Go. Woof. Okay, Wendy, do you want to come and just give your word? I think it's good because I've got one or two. Well, I've just got to. I've done some. Ah, there we go. Right. Oh, my goodness. All this moving you're doing. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I just felt two things, one for the church and one for the church leaders. For you as a church, I felt that you are the dwelling place of the beauty of God, and that in that you have the capacity to see the gold and the beauty in others and call it out. So for some people it can be very hidden, and you are able to see it and call it out, and then see their lives transformed and see a restoration taking place in people's lives. And then for the leaders of the church, I just see that God is going to be giving you an aerial view of what is going to be happening coming up. That he is giving you an aerial view, because just having seen what's happening in front isn't going to give you the strategies and the plans that are needed for you to take the mountain that he is giving to you. So it's not an obstacle mountain, it is a promise mountain that is coming up that you get to take. And with being given an aerial view, you are going to be able to put plans, strategies, and leaders in place to make sure that you are able to take that mountain.
Okay. Isn't that great? God's good, but he's not finished with you. I got, for this church, I got the words I see there, from settlers to pioneers. And I also got this picture of the church on the way. When you say church on the way, what does it mean to you? I think there are two meanings. The one is church on the way. In other words, it's a moving church. It's moving into new things. It's moving on. But also, it can be a church that's on the way. In other words, you're on the side of the road. You're in a one position. You're staying. When you say to somebody, oh, just when you drive along that road, you'll see that church on the way. And I feel like God is wanting to stir you, because I feel some people have got into that habit of, it's church on the way, and I'm sitting in one place. And we've just heard this, so I just want to confirm what's already been said this morning. God has called you as a church to move on, to move into the bigness and the more of what God has for you. And just as we heard from Quinton about the crossing over, and his t-shirt says there, survivor, I just saw that, and I felt some people have lived in survivor mode for too long. God has not called you just to survive on some island somewhere with just a few sticks and what the heck. God says, yes, you can have your internet. Yes, you can have Wi-Fi. Yes, you can have your Mercedes-Benz or what it is that you drive. Yes, you can go further. That's what he's got for you as a church. And do you mind if I ask all the young, is that right? All the young people up until the age of 20, could you all stand? Yeah, go for it. You're a man after my own heart. Right. No others? Are they all study for tree? I want to tell you that I feel that the picture of this church is going to start changing. I feel that the young people, you need to keep your eye on them, because God is wanting to do something in this church through the young people, in the young people. I feel that God is saying that He's wanting to grow this church through young people. I feel like just as they can come in here and be fathered and mothered by people like you, and I suppose me if I happen to be here, but I feel like they are going to be some of the pioneers that are going to go. I feel some of you have sat and you've cried out and you've prayed for these young people. That young boy there, you're also included. Did you know that? I want to tell you that we need to have the Holy Spirit working through these young people as well. I want to tell you that when the Holy Spirit works through these young people, they come with a clarity, they come with a simplicity, they come with an absolute unbiased opinion. You may sit down, that's great. I feel that they come with something of a freshness of what God wants to do through you and I. You know, God is not stuck in the 1940s. He's not stuck in the 50s or the 60s or the whatever. He is a moving on God. He's the same yesterday and forever, but He also moves with the times. He's not intimidated. He's not intimidated by what we get intimidated by. He's quite happy to have the new iPhone 11 or whatever it happens to be. Doesn't worry Him, because He's in everything. And I feel that God is wanting to stretch you and enlarge your capacity, church. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? And then over Mark and Nikki, I'm just, I get excited. So you just have to bear with me if you don't mind. I really got a picture of you two. I see a couple that is absolute gold. You are yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. You're an even keel couple. I feel that it's a brilliant picture to have. I feel there's steel in your bones, though. I feel people make the mistake of thinking you soft and pliable. But there is steel in your bones, and you know what's right and you know what's wrong, and you're prepared to stand your ground on those issues. And I feel that and you are such a mother. Oh, she just loves the people. I watch her just caring for you. And I feel like God is calling you into, even in a sense, into a transitional time, into a new season. I feel we're almost like your hands are not on in the sheep's fur, hair, wool, whatever you call it, as much as it was, because you're going to be investing in specific people. Even these young people that are going to come in, they're going to need some specialized treatment. And I feel that you're going to have to look at your 24-hour day, and you're going to have to see how you can better, wiser use your time. And I feel God is moving you. He's just shifting you slightly. Don't panic. They're not leaving. But I just feel... All right, for those of you that were hoping that was going to happen, it's not going to happen. I know, we're in a church. We're part of a church. We know what it's like. But I really feel that God is going to give you some more specific and specialized input into people's lives. And you mustn't be concerned, because if you give them the right input and involvement, they in turn will touch the lives of others. Does that make sense to you? I really feel God saying, well done. Well done. You have labored, and there are times when you thought, are we ever going to see fruit? There are times when you thought, should I not just go to the Bahamas? But I'm telling you not, God is not finished with you yet, all right? And I feel that so as much as those young people are coming through, there's still a place for the older people. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying you're old. Please don't hear that. Okay, all right. So now that I've said a lot, what time would you like me to go to? How many more? Oh, well, I better just put a thing just in case. Otherwise, you might be here for a while. Okay, so, yeah, I'm sorry my husband couldn't be here. He and I normally work together. I've got two children, I've got two sons, I've got two beautiful daughters, they're married to my sons, and I have reaped where I haven't sown. I've got wonderful daughters, and I've got five grandchildren, and so we have fun. And I'm very disappointed, because my one grandson was supposed to come with. He moves in the prophetic as well, and he had to play in some smart soccer, football, whatever you call it. So, all right, so on the 6th of August, 1945, who knows what happened that day? Come on, you history buffs. The Ilona Gay. Anyone know who the Ilona Gay was? She was a B-29 Super Fortress bomber that dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima. The bomb, the name of the bomb was Little Boy. And then I think the next one that went in on Nagasaki was, I think, called Big Man or something like that. But the Ilona Gay carried the power that devastated an entire city. Just like what Jonah did when he went into Nineveh. He took 3 days that time, but he devastated that whole city, bringing them to the Lord. The whole city submitted their lives to God. Isn't that amazing? He carried something of this supernatural power, superpower. The atomic bomb that changed the course of World War II literally vaporized some of the people and some of the buildings. If you watch a video clip, I've watched video clips on this amazing thing. You all know what I'm talking about, hey? When you look at the mushroom cloud that just exploded and this amazing heat wave or super whatever wave that went, it literally, you see a person sitting in a doorway, and when you look again, he is not there. There are no bones, there are no clothes even, totally, totally vaporized. That's the power of that atomic bomb. Now, we still today recognize the superpower of an atomic reaction or atomic a bomb. And the nations, I mean, America, every time any other nation wants to build a bomb, America's up in arms. And, of course, North Korea is apparently stretching the boundaries a bit. But, you know, the amazing thing about atomic power is that it's not only for bad or to stop wars or to destroy things. There is a use of atomic, of the atomic power to build and to grow and to enable. And we have in Cape Town, we have the Kuburg power station. You all been there? Yeah. We've been there, and it has the power to produce electricity, a very cheap form of electricity, etc., etc., and I'm sure Eskom wished they had made a few more. But anyway, that's Eskom's problem, not mine. So now I want to just take you to scripture. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures, so I hope you don't mind if I just rush ahead. Please, if you've got notebooks, you may write down whatever I say in terms of scriptures. It's always good. Always good to check what the person's preaching on, because it's, you know, us when we stand here, we can so easily say what we want to say, isn't that right? And so easily we can take the truth and just adjust it according to what we want to say. And it's good for you to be able to check so that you can keep us accountable. Is that all right? Right. So Acts 1 verse 8. Let's look there. But you shall receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, or Johannesburg, and in all Judea, Gauteng, and Samaria, South Africa, and to the end of the earth. That's what God has called you and I, if we love the Lord, and if we have submitted our lives to the Lord, and if we've been filled or empowered or baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says, this is what I'm going to give you. You are going to have power to be witnesses. So all of you that are sitting here saying, oh, I'm not very good at witnessing, it's maybe because you haven't received too much of this power, because that is one of the byproducts of having the Holy Spirit in us, is our ability to speak out to people. Now, it doesn't mean you have to get them on their knees and they've got to give their hearts to the Lord then and there. The best evangelist is the person who gives the gospel. Is that right? It's not necessarily that you see the result, because sometimes the result works out in 20 years' time. Your job and my job is to give the gospel. Is that right? You're happy with that? So I just want to thank you to Mark and to Nikki and to the elders for opening this opportunity to me. We've had such fun with you guys over this prophetic time. And I really feel God wants to just as he has started this ball rolling, he wants to infuse you with the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's carry on. What is this power that we see here in this Acts 1:8? How powerful is this power? That's what we have to find out. Who can have it next? Do you have to only be 50 in the shade? Or can you as a 15-year-old also receive this power? Hey? You know the amazing thing about the Bible? It doesn't give an age limit. It doesn't say once you've been to Bible school. It doesn't say only when you've cleaned the toilets in the church and you've swept the floor, then you can get this power. He says it's open for all who love Jesus. All who love Jesus. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you wear purple hair, whether you wear a safari suit, or whether you wear whatever, tattoos. Doesn't matter. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he gives you the power. And have we seen the full extent of it yet? Have you seen the full extent? I haven't. I know I've seen pockets of it. I've seen some moments when things start happening and it gets exciting. But then I go back. We so often go back to just church on Sunday, don't rock the boat kind of stuff. And I feel like God is wanting to stir you and I. He wants to raise our level. He wants to stir our faith for more of what he has for us. So this power that Jesus is talking about is called dunamis, which means miraculous power, strength, might, ability, powerful deeds, marvelous works. That's what the Strong's Concordance tells us. Another definition is power through God's ability. In other words, the power is not made up of because what I can do. I don't go to the gym and lift weights so I can have the power. I have to just open my heart to the Holy Spirit. So even if you're as weak as anything, when you have this power, you've got power. Mr. Sir, with your big beard, hey, they look like woodcutter beards, hey? I know it's weird, eh? But anyway, what's your name, sir? Corbus. John Deere. Interesting. Hey? You like that? My son was on his way to a hockey tour or a squash tour or one of those things when he was much younger, and they were going through the Free State, and all the boys were in the bus. You know what a typical school boys bus is, high school kids? And they were all leaning out the window looking for the next girl. And next thing, Hayden shouts, "Look!" And they're all like, "Look, what? And he's pointing to a John Deere tractor in the field. He loved tractors. Anyway, would you mind standing up? Is this your wife? Is this your son? Come on, stand up, the whole team of you. You're in this church? Pardon? First, oh my goodness, sorry. Oh, it's your friend. Okay. Well, Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you. Sorry that you've been embarrassed like this, but I'm visiting. I'm going away, so you don't have to worry. But Father, I thank you for this couple. I see such potential on this couple. I see a man of absolute stability and ability. And I see a man who can put his hand to the plow, so to speak. And he can turn his hand to anything. Give me your hands. Because Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are wanting this man not only to do the practical, but you're wanting him to do the spiritual. There is healing in your hands, sir. There is an ability to love people in your hands. There's ability to pick up the downtrodden and the hurting. And there's an ability to set the captives free on these hands. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for them. And I thank you for his precious wife. I thank you, Lord, she's right with him. She's standing alongside when he's out plowing in the fields with his John Deere tractor. She's got the little course Buck there with his coffee and his rusks, and she's ready to help him. I see you as a team. I see you seem to be able to work together well. You have got a heart for people. I feel like God has got a plan for you, and I'm not going to say too much more. And even you, what's your name? You, God wants to use. I tell you what, you're going to go into your schools and you're going to go and meet with your friends and you're going to do some changing of their lives. Does that make sense? Yeah, you are a wonderful, wonderful. Okay. All right. So, isn't God gracious? Isn't God gracious? He loves us all. Did you know that He is speaking over your life right now? Did you know that? He speaks to us continually. But half the time, or most of the time, we actually don't hear Him. We don't maybe think that he loves us enough to want to talk to us. We think, oh no, He only speaks to Mark because Mark's the pastor. No, it doesn't matter who you are. God wants, what's your name? No, not you, this one behind, but you too. Win. Such a small lady. Come stand next to me. You're probably going to take me to my... Look at this. To my waist almost. Yeah. But you know what? God says He's put the dunamis power in you as well. It doesn't matter how small or big you are. You go as God's secret weapon, darling. Does that make sense? And I want to tell you that He hasn't forgotten you either. He has called you. He has loved you. And He will continue loving you. And He will provide for you to the day you die. Thank you. Do you hear me? Thank you. All right. That a wonderful, wonderful lady. Okay, so it's the supernatural empowerment by God through His Holy Spirit to enable us to do what God did, what Jesus did, and more. And you know, the amazing thing is that this thing of dunamis has two. It's a root word that has branches. The one branch is dynamite, which we all know. Alfred Nobel, you know him. Yeah, he invented it, or he discovered it, or he did whatever he did. But the other one is dynamo. All right, so all you big engineers, do you know what a dynamo is? Because what is a dynamo, Quentin? It generates electricity. So I want to tell you right now, look at the person next to you and tell them God has put a dynamo in you. I want to tell you that when we are operating with this thing called the dynamo, the Holy Spirit dynamo that God puts inside of our hearts, there is normally an evidence. You normally can see something out of it. In other words, John 14:12 says this, and I'll say it the way the Bible says it. Most assuredly, I say to you. Sorry, if I get a bit excited and noisy, please forgive me. I've got a family of boys, so you know what it's like with boys. So most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works. Why was it greater works? Because Jesus, when he was walking on this earth, knew he had to stand against the enemy. He knew he had to destroy Satan's work and go to the cross and go to the grave and be raised from the dead. So that process was still in place. That process is complete. Now, he says, you can do greater works because I've dealt with you know who. Greater works. Have you seen some greater works? His desire is for you and I, as part of his secret agent clan, to go out and do those works, those greater works. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter whether I'm sitting all stockstien alien, all alone in my home. I am not alone because Jesus is with me. He has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort me. When the enemy tells you that nobody loves you, everybody hates you, I want you to tell him, up your nose with a rubber hose. I have got the Holy Spirit with me. Is that right? I want to tell you, half our problems as churches would be dealt with if we really believed that the Holy Spirit was with us. You know, Hebrews 11 says this. It says, only together with you and I will God make things perfect. Sorry if I point. I know it's not really. When we go to Britain, I've got to be a bit more careful and circumspect. Here I can say things like, and you have to, because, you know, us South Africans, we're a little bit more relaxed. But I want to tell you that God has said, only together with us will he make things perfect. In other words, sir, what's your name? Echo. Hey, why don't you stand up? You speak English? You South African? Zimbabwean? Ah, Shona or Ndebele? From where? Oh, we used to go to Bulawayo lots and lots, man. Where do you come from in Bulawayo? Okay. Is this your son? Your friend's son. Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you, Lord. I read the echo. Father, this man is not an echo. He is the one that will make the dunamis. He is the man who will speak the words, and they will carry power. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you grow his stature, even amongst the people that he's involved with. Thank you, Lord, that he is not just here just because he's here, but he's here because you've purposed him to be here. Thank you, Lord, that as he stands alongside, even as he goes and he speaks to Mark, and he gets to know Mark better, and he gets to learn from Mark, you're wanting to invest in this man because you've got a plan and a purpose for him. Do you hear me? God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you, and he wants to use you to work with him to see it come to pass. Does that make sense? Good to meet you. Hey? Sheesh. Okay. Right. I know, it's terrible. Sorry, please forgive me. God is good. God is good. Now, where did I get up to? Now, I've done, he will be with you, he will dwell with you, he's sending you another helper. You know the story. Okay, let's carry on. So, have you experienced, put up your hand if you've experienced God's power in your life. Hey, it's so exciting when that happens, isn't it? And you think, why can't I live in that place all the time? And I've seen Jenny here. And, you know, Jenny and I have this little agreement that whenever we come close together, God does something supernatural. I don't know what it is. Hey, Jenny, she starts collapsing. I start laughing. God is just in it. There is a physical, tangible presence of God when she and I get together. I want to tell you, that's how he wants you and I to live. I promise you, I don't live like that all the time. So don't look at me and think, oh, she walks on water or something. I haven't yet. But when I get together with Jenny, it's like, yay! Because this means to see something of this dunamis power physically in front of me. And it's so exciting. Oh, it's wonderful. Okay, so this dunamis power, it can supernaturally multiply bread. You know, when Jesus was trying to feed the 5,000, and we know he had the Holy Spirit, don't we? But at that stage, his helpers hadn't really got it yet. They hadn't received that power from on high. They hadn't been introduced to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was there, they didn't need him. But what they did need is they needed Jesus. And when Jesus handed out the bread, Jesus didn't give them 5,000 pieces of bread. He gave them the bread and they had to go and hand it out. So what happened? Where did it multiply? In their hands. In their hands. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus that that bread was handed out to ordinary men and women. Ordinary. Just Mr. and Mrs. Average. And yet that, oh sorry, it was all the disciples. Okay, us ladies, we were still sitting there waiting to be served. But as they handed that bread out, something supernatural happened. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had when you looked at your family or you've looked at your friends or you've got to bring and share at church and nobody seems to have brought anything and they're like five little loaves there and maybe two pieces of sardine and you're thinking, how are we going to do it? And suddenly when you look again, everybody's eaten. We've just had our big breakfast, 27th of July, whenever it was. Every time it's like, oh my goodness, are we going to have enough? And we have what I call the sick, lames, and lazies. Excuse me, that's just a general term. I'm not being nasty. But you know those people that just happen to arrive on breakfast day. And now we've suddenly got to find food for them. And God did a miracle, as he always does. Use you and I. God wants to use you and I. How about the spaghetti? I've got a book I read years ago about this New York Italian lady who used to speak to God and say, hey, God. And she would have to feed the 5,000, so to speak, in her family. Did you read the book? Amazing book of how she just took the Bible at its face value and things happened. So, okay, you're saying that's in America and the 5,000 were in Israel. What about here? So do you want to hear another story? So we built a building in our church, well, for our church. My husband had the vision and my husband had the faith and da-di-da-di-da. And they dug the holes for the foundations for the steel structure. And we ordered the concrete ready-mix lorries. Okay, now we're in Richmond, which is very far from Durban, over an hour away, and these lorries had to come from there, and they had to bring their concrete, and so there the holes are, and they start pouring. And they'd calculated they needed, I think it was three lorries. And first hole, second hole, third hole, and so it went on. And Hilton suddenly realized he had miscalculated. You know, my husband's a farmer, you know, and he didn't really do much at school. You know, high school, he opted out, and then the moment he got there, because he had already failed I don't know how many times. That's a story on its own. But anyway, he suddenly realized, this is why you guys, young people, you got to do maths. Because you've got to work out that one does actually make two. So what happened is now they've done this whole thing, and it's the end of the third lorry, and there's some more holes. So he says, oh, I forgot. So he says, well, have you got any more concrete in your lorry? So the guy says to him, the driver says, these concrete lorries are built to carry, I think it's 6 cubits of concrete. So Hilton says, okay, well, you know, maybe they've put maybe 7 in by mistake. No, he says, they can't take more than 6 cubits of concrete. So Hilton says, so what are we going to do? And Hilton said, well, okay, let's, do you mind? Can you just back your lorry up to the next hole and let's trust God? So let me tell you, I don't want to miss it out. Richlands ordered 18 cubes of concrete. They poured 20 cubes of concrete. Out of that last little, they had another 2 cubes. Now, what's so special? Nothing except the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? Why will he do it for us and not do it for you? What are you trusting for in your home, in your families, in this church? What are you trusting for where you've only got 18 cubits of whatever and you need 20 cubits? God wants to work with you too. God wants you Put your faith out. The trouble is with you and I is half the time it's easy to go to the doctor because he's down the road. It's easy to go to the bank and get a loan because they'll give you a loan for just about anything nowadays. Because it's so able, we don't go to God and say, please God, we need you. Because we make a plan. You know that famous thing, a boer maak 'n plan. I want to tell you right now that sometimes that is the very enemy of what God wants to do in yours and my life. He wants us to get to the place where there's only no more string left and we've got to now trust God. Or whether we've got to walk on the water, where we've got to get out that boat and walk on water. He wants you and me to walk on that water. He is empowering you and me, is he not? Is he not? Mark is a secret weapon in this church. Be very aware of him. God has got some amazing things to do through that man. Okay. So, are you still with me? Okay. Now my words go all the wrong way. So one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 4. And I want to read this to you. And please, if you go home with nothing else, go home with the scripture and read it. And get it into your spirit, because this is what God wants to do with you and me and the children and the grannies and the grandfathers. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. You and I have, we are in the army, guys. We are going to declare the day of vengeance on the enemy and the works of the enemy. Don't always, you know what? We think we've got to be nice people. I want to tell you now, Christians don't need to be nice. They need to be kind. They need to be merciful. They need to be loving, but they're not nice. They're ready to fight the enemy. Whether you are 90 in the grade, whether you're a young person, God wants you to get into that army and be prepared. Because I want to tell you, me and God is much bigger than Satan. Doesn't matter who me is, we are all greater when we have Jesus with us. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Anyone who gets a spirit of heaviness, anyone who gets down, God says to you and me, we can get rid of that when we get up and start worshiping him, when we start laughing. You know what? Laughing is like inner medicine. It's always good to have a good laugh. Get Charlie Chaplin or the Three Stooges or whoever you find as hilarious. Get them watch them, get yourself laughing again. We get too serious. God wants you and I to laugh at the enemy. He wants us to stand in the face of those things. I've been around the block a few times. I can tell you about a fire that went right through our farm, destroyed our crop. We had nothing for over a year. And in that year, we went overseas twice because people suddenly came and gave us tickets to go overseas to do ministry. I want to tell you, in your darkest hour, God can come through. I want to tell you that. Those of you that are sitting with health, I had epilepsy. I want to tell you that God healed me. I have been clear. I haven't had tablets for the last 1976. Somewhere around there, I stopped tablets. I want to tell you, God heals. I can tell you story after story after story because God wants to work with you and I. He wants to show the world out there. He wants to show the world in here. He wants to show us that he is a mighty God. He wants to use you and me to be the ones that will lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. And they shall recover. He wants you and I to work in the works of the miraculous. And they will be immediately healed. Immediately free. That discerning of spirits that we talk about, and it's kind of like, oh, we don't want to talk too much about that. If we had more discerning of spirits in our lives, we would see situations change because we wouldn't waste time with things that we shouldn't be involved in. When our children are faced with pedophiles or things like that, they will have the discernment to see that person's a bad person and get out of the way. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I want to tell you, you pray for your kids. Don't let them get away. You keep praying for them. You keep imparting them the Jesus, because that's what they need in this world. They need that authority that Jesus gives us. Whew, let me stop and take my jacket off. Whew, I get so excited. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing my heart? You know, I know it sounds all, you know, like we're all fighting it. You know what? He's come to set the captive free. He's come to restore. And for those of us that maybe have had all the bad things happen to us, the amazing thing here, I just love it. I'm jumping ahead. It says, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. I want to tell you guys, if you have been ruined in any area of your life at any stage, God is in the rebuilding and refreshing and stirring up again. He's in the patching and the renewing business. He can take those things and he can put them as far as the east is from the west. I want to tell you, God wants to do that even here. Right. I've probably got about 5 minutes. Yeah, something like that. Okay. I just want to show you something of when people took God at his word. I just want to say, this is in history. These things can be checked. But the power that God freely gives to each one of us is through his Holy Spirit. And it's the power to change a situation. When there's too much month at the end of your money, God can change the situation. You know that feeling? Been there? Done that? The power to change lives. You know that guy that always wanted to beat so-and-so up? God can change that man. God can change that man supernaturally. My husband, Shame, he's not here, so he can't defend himself. But he grew up in a home where there was a lot of anger. And he grew up with a lot of anger. And he used his anger to control a situation. Because he didn't want people to see what he didn't have. And God came in and did a supernatural thing in his life. I want to tell you, God can do it. God can do it. It's the power to bring life where there is death. Have you got a Lazarus lying on your couch? Or hidden in your cupboard? A dead situation, a dead relationship, dead bank balance, dead health issues? God wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. Think of John G. Lake. John G. Lake, and I'm going to get my facts right here, Spexepacone or something in America. He lived in some city in America. Let me be general. Yeah, that place. And changed the atmosphere of that city. People were healed. It was declared the most healthy place in America in his time. One man, look at the person next to you, it could be you. One man believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. John G. Lake. We all know about Bethel. Everyone wants to go to Bethel. I want to tell you, you know the amazing thing about that town? It's some piddly little town in America, but it's got a powerful church. The church has influenced the city. The church has, because the church, hotels have had to be built. The church, the people in the church pay for the street cleaners to clean that city. They, as a church, have caused an influence. And that's what we in Richmond are trusting God for. We've been prophetically told that that's what we will do. And we are trusting that we as a church, we're in such a piddly little town. It's about that size. But I want to tell you, we are not going to go. And we are trusting God that we as a church will change the atmosphere over that town. If anyone knows about its history, it's got a violent past. But God. the Quakers. Anyone heard of the Quakers? They were ostracized from society. Ostracized because they would shake because of the power. Jenny,